Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the offices, the law offices of Paulson LLP. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-hosts, Julie Schroyer, Paulsonelli, Jennifer Jones Paulsonelli, Diane Richer Paulsonelli, and Aaron Felix from Paulsonelli. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today, including Denise Godfrey, Senior Corporate Counsel of Splunk, Taryn Fielder, Senior Vice President, Corporate Counsel, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary of Washington Reed, Danny Bernard, Chief Recruiting Officer of Paulsonelli, and Ashley Mills, CEO of the Vision Council. Let's get to know our first guest, and our first guest is Denise Godfrey, Senior Corporate Counsel, Splunk. Denise, what is Splunk? What do you guys do?
Splunk is a data analytics company, so our software reads all different types of log files and technical data in all different formats to make sense of it for companies to use to better serve their customers.
Interesting. When you joined the company, how many employees were there, and how many employees are there now?
There were about 350 employees when I started 4 years ago, and today we're at about 3,000.
So you guys have had significant growth in only a couple of years, from 400 to 3,000 employees. And your role at this firm, it says here you're the Senior Corporate Counsel. Where were you from originally?
I'm from originally Cheltenham, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of Philadelphia.
Suburb of Philadelphia. How many brothers and sisters are there in your family?
I have an older sister and an older brother.
So you're the youngest of three. And what did that do to you growing up the youngest of three?
Well, I got tortured by my brother a lot because he was only 13 months older than me.
Yeah.
And I kind of had to fight for what I wanted as a child because I was always the youngest wanting to do what the older two did.
What did mom and dad do for a living?
My dad was a civil engineer for the local municipality, and my mom was the secretary at my grade school.
Your mom was the secretary at the grade school. If your mom was the secretary at the grade school, everybody in your class, everybody in the school knew that, right?
Correct.
And everybody that knew you knew that, right?
Yes.
How'd that make you feel, the fact that your mom was the secretary in your grade school?
Well, I think both mom being secretary and me being the third child, so being Kevin and Kate's little sister, I felt like I had to be well-behaved and had to be one of the smartest kids to make my mom proud.
Ooh, that's a pretty potent driver, wanting to make your mom proud. How about your dad? What did your dad do to you? How'd you feel about your dad?
My dad was probably the most influential person in my life. He's taught me that you have to work hard for everything, that nothing's going to be handed to you in life, but that you should never compromise your morals to get where you want to go.
Wait a second here. It says here you're the Senior Corporate Counsel, and you're talking about you should never jeopardize your morals. I'm wondering if that had some influence on your becoming an attorney and chief counsel.
It has. I was in a law firm for only 1 year out of law school, and it wasn't the right atmosphere for me because I wanted to be someplace where I felt like people were working together and I got to know the business side of things, not just the legal side. And so in my role, I get to do that.
You like to lay the tracks for others, don't you?
I do.
What's that mean to you, laying the tracks for others?
I try to make it easier for other people. I don't want anybody to feel like they've been either left out or that they've been... In my business, I don't like the customers to feel like they have gotten the bad end of the bargain.
How young were you when you started making money?
other than babysitting, about 13 when I started working at Dairy Queen.
And tell us about how you got, whose idea was it, and what did you do different than all the other kids?
So I'm very organized. So I was immediately chosen to be the closing person at night at the Dairy Queen because I would make sure that everything got closed up and cleaned correctly
How old were you when you were closing
13.
The Dairy Queen? You were 13 years old, and the manager or the owner of the Dairy Queen gave you the keys to close up.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's not because you were organized. It's because they trusted you. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Where'd that come from? Where'd you learn to engender this sense of trust? Oh, maybe that was because mom was the school secretary and everybody knew it, and dad, you wanted to make him proud.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. What success look like for you? What's that look like?
Success for me is about a balance of both having a career that I love and having time with my family.
What do you mean by that? What are you talking about?
Meaning success for me has never been about the dollars in my paycheck. It has been more about, do I truly love what I'm doing? And if I don't, then I have switched jobs because it's not worth the time of my the time in my life to do something I don't love.
Wait a minute. This organization has gone from 400 to 3,000 people in 4 years. You're telling me that that hasn't been hard work and stressful?
It has, but it was a startup, and it still has that startup mentality. So it's very laid back, and the people I work with are phenomenal. So I have enjoyed the ride.
Huh? What do you enjoy about this? I'm trying to figure that out.
Well, my job as a commercial licensing attorney, I got to be honest with you, I can get 100-page contracts, and to me, they're like crossword puzzles, and everything needs to fit nicely. It's like a big piece of logic that you have to make all the pieces fit, and that actually is very enjoyable to me.
Is your dad around nowadays? Is
he, yes.
Uh-huh. Has he been to your office?
He has not been to my office. I think he'd have culture shock.
If dad walked into your office and found out what you did for a living, how do you think he'd feel?
He'd be very proud of me.
Why?
Because I have always maintained the integrity that I keep in my job and what I do. So I don't, and I watch the salespeople, not that they do it, but it's always been my job as in-house counsel to make sure we as a company keep the integrity and do the right thing for our customers.
So as opposed to, I read the newspapers, as opposed to attorneys trying to figure out ways around things, you're trying to make sure that things stay within the lines. Co-host, who's got the next question here?
What did you study in college that prepared you for what you're doing today?
So I ended up being an international relations and economics major, but at the time of deciding for college, I was going to go either for voice, which I got a voice scholarship to Penn State main campus, or I was going to go the law route. And I decided to go political science for undergrad to pursue law because I didn't really want my hobby and enjoyment of singing to become a job.
You didn't want your hobby and enjoyment to become a job. That's interesting. I'm wondering, what's the similarity between singing and being the, it says here, you're the senior corporate counsel of Splunk. What's the similarity between what you do in your hobby and what you do for a living?
I'm constantly in front of people. I'm either educating my sales team or I'm on the phone call with anywhere from 2 to 20 people getting through a contract, and so I have to be able to lead everybody through the deal to get it done.
And you figure that's the same kind of stuff with singing, huh?
It is. I think that I have a comfort level being in front of people, so it doesn't bother me to be up in front of people or be the center of attention when something's directed at my...
Mm-hmm. Who's got the next question here?
You mentioned that you joined the workforce at the age of 13. I'm curious where you went after Dairy Queen. What were some other jobs that had a significant impact on the person that you are today?
So I worked a lot before college and through college and law school because I paid for both my college and my law school degrees. I was a tennis court attendant. I worked at a place like Macy's, but in Pennsylvania. I cleaned houses on the main line of Philadelphia for a summer. I worked at a...
What'd you learn cleaning houses that you now use as senior corporate counsel of this 3,000-person firm? Cleaning houses, what'd you learn?
Part of what I've taken from that is that nobody's too big to do a job. So if I have to be there at 8 o'clock helping put a FedEx together, I'll be there at 8 o'clock putting a FedEx together, and it's got to be a team effort.
Wait a minute. Wait. I thought that if you're the chief corporate counsel, you get to come in late, like 10 or 11, and you have these fancy lunches with cocktails, and you get to leave at 3 or 4. What do you mean you're going to come in and help put a FedEx together?
In my business, we are a team. The sales team, the legal team, best practices, whomever's involved in the deal, or the RFP response. And so I treat that as we are a team, that I don't just have a defined role, and anywhere I can chip in, I will chip in.
So you were cleaning house, you were cleaning bathrooms, and you took pride in what you were doing back then?
I did, because I was working hard and I was making money.
Huh, how about that? All right, who's got the next question?
I have a question. So we were talking, and I know now you have a cleaning service, but that you also require your sons to clean, even though you have a cleaning service. Why is that?
Because I think you have to appreciate what other people do for you. And so I don't want my children. I grew up in a house where we did everything. My parents and my brother, sister, and I, we didn't outsource anything. I don't want my children automatically assuming that everything's going to get outsourced. You have to work yourself to a level that you can get there, but you shouldn't just feel like you're entitled to that.
You want your kids to appreciate other people?
I want my kids to be independent, to know that they can do it on their own. And I want them to realize that they have to work to get to the point where mom and dad have gotten to be able to afford that, that that's not just something that they're given. And it's not a right, it's a privilege.
What's the website address of this organization known as Splunk?
Splunk.com.
We've been speaking with Denise Godfrey, Senior Corporate Counsel of an organization called Splunk, here on Executive Leaders Radio, with my co-hosts, Julie Schroyer, Jennifer Jones, Diane Richer, and Aaron Felix from Paulson Elliott. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, are truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. Mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so Call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Taryn Fielder, who's the Senior Vice President, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary of Washington REIT. Taryn, what is Washington REIT? What do you guys do?
Washington REIT is a publicly traded real estate investment trust. We own commercial real estate properties throughout the D.C. metro area.
Uh-huh. What kind of dollar value are you guys holding at this point?
We have about a $3 billion enterprise value.
About a $3 billion enterprise value. Uh-huh. Where'd you grow up?
I am a military brat, but I grew up primarily in Northwest Florida in a small town called Niceville.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters?
I have one younger brother.
One younger brother. You're the oldest of two. Uh-huh. And tell us a little bit about when you were 8 to 14 years old, what would describe you? Was it sports you were involved with? Was it clubs? What kind of stuff were you doing?
It was absolutely not sports. I'm a total klutz. But I was involved in every extracurricular activity that I could find, because I just enjoyed getting to try out different things and have new experiences.
So you told us one of the things was the Social Entrepreneurs Club, and that sounds a little dichotomous. The word social and the word, you know, the same thing as entrepreneur, Social Entrepreneurs Club. And then you also mentioned you were involved with the Youth in Government Club. So it sounds like you were testing the extremes as a kid. Is that true?
I think that's right. I wanted to experience a broad spectrum of activities and get to know everything that might be available to me, especially figuring out what I wanted to be in the future.
Uh-huh. So it sounds to me like you've got this empathetic side, but you've got this very direct side. Is that fair to say?
I think that's absolutely accurate.
Uh-huh. And earlier you mentioned that Dad was in the military. He was in the Air Force.
That's correct. He was a pilot.
Uh-huh. And Mom and Dad got separated when you were 10 years old, right?
That's about right, yep.
And you were the oldest of two.
Correct.
Uh-huh. How'd that feel and what'd that do to you back then when Mom and Dad got separated?
Sure. I mean, it was challenging, I think, especially back in the 80s, you didn't see a whole lot of parents getting divorced, so it was a unique experience, or felt unique to me at the time. It forced my mom to take on more responsibility and change career paths so that she could raise a family. And I saw that, and I think that was a great influencing factor on me to see a strong single mom in the workforce and realize that women could be independent and have a career and raise a family.
Is that, how'd that shape you? It gave you more drive, or it gave you more empathy, or it gave you more both, or what?
I think it gave me more of both. I saw how hard my mom was working and wanted to emulate that to some degree, but also recognized that it was challenging for her not having a built-in support system, and made me think that there would be more that I could do to help, and that I would, I think that helped make me more empathetic for sure.
Uh-huh. So how's that shaped your life?
I think it's definitely made me want to be independent and realize that I can do a lot on my own, but it's also great to have a really helpful support system, and I appreciate having my husband and my friends and my network, because I know that there's so much value in having a lot of people around you who support you.
Is Mom still in your life?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. How do you think Mom feels about the fact that you're the, it says here, Senior Vice President, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary of a $3 billion organization.
I think she could not be more proud, and she's my best friend, so we talk all the time, and I can hear the pride in her voice whenever we talk, and I get to tell her about what I'm doing on a daily basis or strategically, or where I see my career going. She's definitely proud of her daughter.
So you're expecting, aren't you?
I am.
Uh-huh. So you sound like a really in-control kind of lady.
Which is not convenient for pregnancy.
Uh-huh. So how do you feel about pregnancy and being the Senior Vice President, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary of a $3 billion company?
Yeah. It's challenging, but look, I'm not the first person to ever raise a family and try to balance it with a career. I got to see my mom do it. And I have a lot of strong women who are my mentors and friends. And I've seen them do it and balance everything quite nicely. Hearing from the women in this room is also inspirational. So it can be done, and it's just another challenge. I like challenges, so bring it on.
So wait a minute. So as opposed to being afraid, one of the things you do is you embrace others' opinions and bring their opinions around you in order to move forward. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's critical. I love learning, not only from my own experiences, but from the experiences of others. I like to listen and hear what people have to share with me, and I think that's been incredibly helpful in my career and my personal life.
Interesting. That sounds more intelligent than some of us, like me, who think I know everything. Who's got the next question?
Well, so I know you're in a position of leadership in a world, what is still a man's world, real estate. How do you, to what do you attribute your success working in that sort of environment?
Yeah, I've been really lucky, and I've had a lot of great mentors throughout my career who have really helped to guide me, show me the way, show me how to embrace the challenges that come with being a minority in terms of my gender in the industry. And I attribute a lot of my success to them and that guidance. And it's something that I try to give back to others and mentor people in my organization and without, because I think that is critical for helping women advance, not only in the real estate industry, but across all industries.
Mm-hmm. Who's got the next question?
So it seems like you had a lot of interest as a young child and wanted to, you know, sort of keep the door open for lots of possibilities. How did you narrow down and sort of figure out what you wanted to be when you grew up?
By accident. I never wanted to get into real estate. I just kept pursuing opportunities that left doors open to me. I was a political science major and then went to law school. And I made those choices because I figured that they would continue to open doors as opposed to shutting them or narrowing me into a particular industry or role. And that really turned out to be the case. Fell into real estate and just really happened to like it. But I think that the choices I've made going in-house have continued to expand my opportunities going forward. I don't necessarily have to practice real estate law. I see a lot of career paths that could open up to me in the future.
Next question.
What is your aspiration?
Ultimately, part of the reason I love being in-house is I love learning about management, strategy, and thinking big picture about running a company. Ultimately, I'd love to be running my own company. My current CEO knows that. and I have big dreams about where I can go in the future.
Mm-hmm. Next
I wanted
question.
To ask a question, thinking about younger listeners and where you got your origins. You're obviously highly motivated. Were there experiences in your childhood? You talked about the difficulty around your divorce and stepping up, but were there particular jobs that you had or experiences that you think contributed in terms of how you got to where you are today?
Sure. My first job was working in my mom's residential brokerage practice, answering telephones. Talk about angry customers. When people lose real estate deals, you can get an earful. So I think I had to sort of grow up pretty quickly just in terms of managing other adults when I was only about 13 or 14 years old. And that's pretty formative and led me down a path of wanting to pursue those types of challenging opportunities, engaging with people, and really figuring out how to make the best of
wait. You were answering the telephone in your mom's real estate office, and there would be tenants or buyers and sellers that were calling and talking with you. You're 13 years old.
I would be the first point of deflection, perhaps. Uh-huh. Trying to get them to the right people.
But the point is, you spoke with them.
Absolutely.
And you understood what was going on.
Trying to figure it out.
Uh-huh. You were handling client services. You were helping your mom out. What did you do then? What did you learn then that you're using nowadays as senior vice president of this $3 billion company at the age of 13?
Yeah, I think I learned that you have to think outside the box about who your client is.
And what's the website address for Washington REIT?
Oh, sure. It's washreit.com.
And this is Herb Cohen. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com.
Staples knows that when the leave behinds for your sales call get left behind at your office, it's time. When you need to print 30 pages and you're 300 miles from the office, it's time. And when the intern packed the Harrington file, not the Farrington file.
Ugh, my bad.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when you can count on Staples. Access your files from email, the cloud, or USB, and then print, copy, fax, or scan them, and get back to business fast. Visit your nearby Staples. It's pro time.
BizTalk Radio is now available on Amazon Echo. Just add the BizTalk Radio skills, then ask Alexa for the latest business news. You'll instantly get live, relevant information from the best business source, BizTalk Radio. Alexa, open BizTalk Market Tips.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
521-9579. Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. That's 888-904-1986.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold.
Call 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not.
The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn, and we'd like to introduce Danny Barnard.
Barnard.
Chief Recruiting Officer of Polsinelli. Danny, what does the Chief Recruiting Officer do at Polsinelli, and what is Polsinelli?
Polsinelli is an 825 lawyer and public policy law firm, and I recruit at the most senior level in five core practice areas that we are known for, including real estate, IP, corporate mid-market, healthcare, and financial services.
So you're the chief recruiter of the firm?
Correct.
Where are you from originally?
Boston, Massachusetts.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have seven. Brothers and sisters.
Seven brothers and sisters. Where are you in the pecking order?
I'm the oldest girl, and I have two older brothers, a younger brother, and four younger sisters.
Wow. You're the oldest girl of eight.
Correct.
Uh-huh. What'd that do to you, being the oldest girl of eight growing up in Boston?
All good things. I have been managing people from as early as seven. In a family that size, it really becomes survival of the fittest.
Earlier, you told us that something happened with Mom and Dad when you were about eight. What was that?
My parents got divorced when I was eight.
So your parents got divorced when you were eight, and then the families got combined. Your father...
My father left, correct.
Yeah.
My mother remarried a couple of years later.
Uh-huh.
And I had, through that remarriage, two stepbrothers, and together they had two daughters.
Okay.
But we're just all family.
So you've been through the blending of a family.
Correct.
You've been in, before Mom and Dad, before Dad left, were they arguing a little bit?
They were.
Uh-huh. How'd you feel about that?
I think as a kid, you know that it's not right. And even at that age, I knew I wanted better for my mother.
What'd you learn from that you use every day now?
I learned what I would not look for in life or in a marriage. And I also learned, in part, how to diffuse conflict.
So you understood selection criteria back at the age of eight.
Absolutely.
So as opposed to just simply being a recruiter, you are also a selector.
I think when you come from a family of divorce, you are forced to be very intuitive at a young age. And luckily, that ties into my career every day.
Now, wait. You're the chief recruiter for a law firm, and you're telling me you use your intuition?
Every day, all day. So I recruit people, and every person has a story.
Uh-huh.
My job is to figure out what that story it is and if it fits in with the Polsinelli story.
Uh-huh.
And part of the reason I'm good at that is because of the experiences I had as a kid.
Well, let's find out, because sitting in this room are a couple of people that you brought in the Polsinelli. I think Diane and Julie, you were brought in. So tell me, what was your first impression of Danny, this recruiter in this organization, Polsinelli, and tell us about your experience?
When I first met Danny, I was struck by what an authentic, genuine person she was. Honestly, she wasn't trying to sell me or recruit me. She genuinely wanted to know who I was, what my goals were, and really wanted to get a sense of whether this would be a good fit for me. And she had a way of just naturally helping me figure this out. And essentially, she kept saying to me, you know, I think this is a really good firm. Like, I think these are really genuine people, and I think you might fit in here. And ironically, Danny at the time had her own firm, and she was going through the same process I was, unbeknownst to me. And ultimately, we both started on the same day. She gave up her firm to come in-house for Polsinelli. And so I personally like to take credit for recruiting Danny because, you know, she liked me so much, she wanted to work with me, she gave up her company. But in reality,
it was all you, actually.
She, she really believed in the firm and believed in our mission and was looking for people to make it work. And
all right. So
she changed my life.
So what makes Polsinelli special?
here's what appealed to me, and we talk about being a Midwestern firm. I'm from Boston. That was new to me. What really appeals to me about our culture, we are not a firm that was handed anything. You know, it's a firm that was started in the 60s by a small group of people who had to go out, who had to have the vision to go out and create a client base and the firm that we are today. And that idea of creating something and becoming successful at it really resonates with me.
Earlier you mentioned that, you know, Dad left at the age of 8 and Mom was a bookkeeper. And somehow Mom gave you a belief in the underdog. What was all that about? And how's that affecting you nowadays?
So my mom is one of the hardest workers I know. She does not have a college degree. And so I think this belief in the underdog came from at different times in my life. We were the underdog. And she instilled this desire to be better and this love of education. And it was rise as high as you're able to go and never forget the people who are at a different level than you ever.
So when you meet somebody, how's this belief in the underdog affect your interview?
I go to every interview with no preconceived notions. My goal is really to truly understand a human being, not just their talents as a lawyer, but what they're going to be like in the workplace.
What difference does that make?
You know, what you're doing,
you're a law firm, just dump them on the client and that's the end of the story.
I think if you asked your average client, they would tell you the difference. So the difference between a lawyer who truly loves what they do and a lawyer who's just good what they do is a difference between someone who has a client for one deal and a client for 100 transactions.
So you're telling me that by recruiting hard to select well, you're actually ending up with client retention.
Absolutely. It's my privilege to work here, and I take that part of it very seriously.
So you're actually producing revenue by bringing in the right people. You're bringing in revenue for the firm, for the individual you're recruiting, and you're also getting greater results for the client. Otherwise, they wouldn't stick around. Huh?
I have an impact on people's lives. These are their careers, which means if I'm not candid and honest and genuine, it impacts them, and that's serious.
It sounds to me like it's a win-win-win. You know, the recruit wins, the firm wins, and the client wins. Let me ask you a question. How young were you when you started interviewing? Didn't you tell us you were doing something about babysitting?
Yeah, I started babysitting very young, and I was always that kid. I always wanted to be a business person. In kindergarten, there used to be these tape cassettes, and I would take them out and put my books in them, the ones that look like bookcases. I would babysit, and when the dad drove me home, I would interview him about his job. This started 8 or 9.
Do you actually remember going to the dad driving you home and you talking to him in the car about his career?
100%. What do you do? And if he was in a BMW, I would ask even more questions.
Because you were driven and you wanted to know the secrets to success or what?
I'm just interested in people. I think people are fascinating, and people, genuinely speaking, like to talk about themselves, and you learn so much from them. And I always like to learn from really smart people. If you ask, they'll teach you.
Interesting. Who's got the next question here?
So, Danny, you had some personal adversity with your family. Did you have any adversity in school? Did you have any teachers who you had a problem with? And if so, how did you deal with it?
So there was only, usually teachers really liked me because I loved school, but there was one teacher in fourth grade who just had a visceral reaction to me. She did not like me at all. And my reaction to that was, okay, I'm going to be the best student you've ever seen. I don't think she liked me at the end of the year, but she respected the effort.
So as opposed to being crushed, you just took on the challenge.
The other thing my mother taught me is take the job that you're not quite qualified for and then rise to the occasion.
So you're not afraid of a challenge.
I'm not afraid of a challenge.
So what do you look for in somebody that you want to go hang out with?
Hang out with or hire?
Yes, both ways.
Hire and hang out with, either way, I want them to be passionate about what they do. I don't care if you're a cleaning lady or you're a lawyer or you're, you know, even higher up the food chain than that. You have to love it. And when people love what they do, it's obvious from the first 5 minutes you talk to them.
Huh. What else do you look for?
I like smart people, good people, genuine people, people who don't forget the underdog, no matter how far they've risen or not.
What do you mean by good people? What are you talking about?
To me, good people, other people on the show have talked about living by their own moral code. Good people doing the tough thing that maybe no one's ever going to know about, but you know is right, or making the tough decision when the wrong decision would be easier. Those are good people.
Huh. Do you have, are there people that you work with that that you're friends with?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And that's because you really enjoy the people you work with.
I do.
And I guess a recruiter, again, you get to go in, you know, not, you're 9 to 5, aren't you?
No, I'm not 9 to 5. I'm more like 9 to 9.
what time do you start with your emails in the morning?
Usually around 6:30.
In the morning.
Correct.
And what time do you end with your emails at night?
11.
11 at night.
I'm a mom. I'm a working mom. There are things that happen in between, but this is not a 9 to 5 job.
Do you get paid for working overtime?
No, I get a salary.
So why do you do it?
I love this firm, and I have a lot of responsibility. We've got 21 offices, and that means I need to be available.
You don't have to work on the weekends, though, do you?
I do work on the weekends.
You get paid extra for that?
I get a good salary.
So you take a lot of pride in what you do.
I do.
Uh-huh. And I guess one of the reasons, how long you been with the firm now?
Internally, 4 years. They were a client of mine 4 years before I came in-house.
So you're really concerned about bringing in people that are going to stick around and keep the clients happy.
Yes.
Uh-huh. What's the website address of this law firm?
Polsinelli.com.
Polsinelli.com. What's the best part of your gig?
The best part of my gig? Uh-huh. It really is. I get to meet all different types of people all day long. It's never, ever boring.
And you enjoy that.
I love it.
You enjoy figuring people out.
I do.
You really enjoy interviewing.
I enjoy interviewing. I sure do.
With
I don't enjoy being interviewed.
We enjoy being with Danny Bernard, Chief Recruiting Officer of Polsinelli, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Hey, Mom. I got your message. Do you need me to come home early?
Hi, dear. We're all doing fine. The kids haven't slowed down all day, and thanks to Blue Emu, neither have I.
But I thought you said...
Well, I tried your father's Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief Cream. It worked fast to relieve the pain in my achy muscles and joints.
Blue Emu, huh?
That's right, and it's odor-free.
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Beat the pain and enjoy life. Available at Walmart and Walgreens.
Attention, Xarelto and Pradaxa users. If you or a loved one has taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and suffered an injury or even died, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Xarelto and Pradaxa are prescribed blood thinners used to prevent blood clots and protect people from strokes. If you have taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and been hospitalized for internal bleeding, call now. 800-305-2036. Serious bleeding has led to numerous cases of hospitalization and death. If you or a loved one was hospitalized for serious internal bleeding or a stroke after taking Xarelto or Pradaxa, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Don't be a silent victim. Time is limited to file your claim. Call now for free information and a free consultation. Call 800-305-2036. That's 800-305-2036. 2036. Again, 800-305-2036.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hey, travelers. Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769.
Staples knows that when the leave-behinds for your sales call get left behind at your office, it's time. When you need to print 30 pages and you're 300 miles from the office, it's time. And when the intern packed the Harrington file, not the Farrington file.
Ugh, my bad.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when you can count on Staples. Access your files from email, the cloud, or USB, and then print, copy, fax, or scan them, and get back to business fast. Visit your nearby Staples. It's pro time.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, and we'd like to introduce Ashley Mills, CEO of the Vision Council. Ashley, what is the Vision Council? What are you guys doing?
The Vision Council is a trade association for optical manufacturers, so everything from fashion sunwear to eyeglasses, the lenses that go in them, and the machines that help test your vision is represented by our organization.
Cool. Where are you from originally?
I grew up outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in a town called Springfield.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have two younger brothers.
So you're the oldest of three. And you mentioned that you had a great aunt that had a big influence on you. Can you tell us about this great aunt and what kind of influence she had on you?
Certainly. So my families, both of my parents are from farm families in Pennsylvania. And so my mother's aunt spent her whole entire life on that farm. She never went to college. But she actually, when I was 11, had saved and ended up taking me on a trip to England, Brussels and Wales. And so at such a young age, I just got a taste of the world and what was out there. And that certainly changed me.
This was an aunt, a great aunt, that never went to college, saved her money, and her savings went to taking you and her to Europe. Were you aware of the fact that she had saved her money to take you on that trip?
I think so at that time. I mean, I was always aware of money.
How'd that,
and what
how'd that make
cost.
You feel?
Incredibly lucky and incredibly special. I was actually really astounded that my parents let me go. They're pretty strict and not great risk takers, but it was
that,
great.
How did that affect you? What did that do to you going to Europe at the age of 10 with your great aunt? How did that shape you?
It absolutely changed everything for me in terms of, I think that was the first time my eyes were open to what was possible and what I liked and what I wanted to do.
That's just sort of interesting. Earlier you told us that mom and dad were both teachers. Mom was elementary and dad was high school. And you told us that you thought you were more like your dad because he got you to be strict and focused and driven to work as hard as you possibly could. Is that true?
Yes, certainly. Huh. Obviously, my parents were teachers. There were three kids, so money was definitely an issue. But my father, I mean, year after year, in addition to teaching, he held every other job possible. I think he sold insurance. He coached basketball, he taught driver's ed, and just about anything else in addition.
So that's interesting. So you're a combination of, you know, dad's hard work and you're really believing in hard work and this exposure that you got when you were 10 years old. So you got the drive and you got the vision. So what ended up happening?
I think it was fully baked that young, but I... you know, obviously I worked really, really hard in school. I loved school. I was a good student. I was really active in a lot of things in high school, but I would say I was never the best one. I was a good student, but never the smartest.
Also, there was, it wasn't...
Ashley, you mentioned earlier that your first job, I think, was scooping ice cream, and I know that you have a tremendous work ethic. Can you tell us more about your work history, and I'm curious, what would be the most the best job you ever had?
The best job I ever had is certainly the job that I have now at the Vision Council, without question.
Why is that?
Well, I certainly feel incredibly fortunate, but believe me, I've never planned this. But somehow I have managed to end up in an industry that touches a lot of things that I've always been really interested in, including fashion and healthcare and consumer-facing products and international travel. And it all somehow comes together under this job.
Mm-hmm. What did your grandmother tell you about you when you were a kid?
She spoiled me terribly, but she truly used a word I don't know that I ever even understood when I was that little, but she always referred to me as having a great deal of moxie.
Well, how's the moxie showing up in you?
I don't know. I guess, you know, I'll try anything. If there's an opportunity out there, I'm going to go for it, whether I feel like I'm fully qualified for it
or
not.
Are you taking this organization known as the Vision Council into new areas?
I intend to, certainly. I think the vision industry is a great one, but it's still poised for so much growth and has so much potential. It really, vision touches everyone. It's so important.
So this moxie, this adventurer in you, these guts, you're going to pave new paths, aren't you? Especially because Dad taught you to work as hard as you possibly could.
Mm-hmm. I plan to.
Uh-huh. Well, what's the best part of your job?
You know, honestly, it's also the most unsettling, but the best part is that it's different every single day. Every single day. Last night I was up on Capitol Hill. Today I'm here. I'll be traveling next week. It's different every single day.
Mm-hmm. How young were you when you started making money?
16.
Doing what?
I was scooping ice cream at the Village Porch restaurant in Springfield, Pennsylvania.
What'd you do different than the other kids?
I'm not sure. I've always been incredibly responsible, and I take work very seriously.
Uh-huh. So how did it show up back then?
I think one of the best ways to explain it was the manager at the time would trust me with his Corvette and send me to the store to get supplies for the restaurant.
How old were you?
16.
He must have trusted you at the age of 16 to give you his Corvette. Who's got the next question here?
What trait at that age do you think you've carried to today to get you to the place you are now?
I think truly I have always just taken work seriously, and I work really hard, and I try really hard.
You work really hard, you try really hard. Next question.
What did you think you wanted to do when you grow up?
I was really artistic, so I thought something in a creative career, such as interior design or fashion design.
Well, it sounds to me like you're sort of doing that, aren't you?
It's amazing. So it all worked out.
Next question. So are you a mom?
I am.
Uh-huh. How many kids?
I have a son who's 12 and a daughter who's 10.
Similarity between being a mom and the CEO of the Vision Council. What's the similarity?
You have to try and work really, really hard. No, we have a joke around our house that, like, this clown show doesn't run itself. Nothing runs itself. Everything is work, and it's great work.
You got to make it happen.
Given that your
What's the website address for the Vision Council?
TheVisionCouncil.org.
TheVisionCouncil.org. We've been speaking with Ashley Mills, CEO of the Vision Council, here on Executive Leaders Radio. We've also had the opportunity of speaking with Denise Godfrey, Senior Corporate Counsel, Splunk, Taryn Fielder, Senior Vice President, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary of Washington Reed, Danny Barnard, Chief Recruiting Officer of Pulse and LA, and again, most recently, Ashley Mills, CEO of the Vision Council. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, including Julie Schroyer, Jennifer Jones, Diane Richer, and Aaron Felix from Pulse and LA for giving me instruction to questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. What is the website address for Pulse and LA? Somebody tell me that?
PulseandLA.com.
PulseandLA.com, and the website address for Executive Leaders Radio is executiveleadersradio.com. Thank you for joining us today. Please visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio,